ABC Radio Queensland.
And this is Drive on the 1st of July, 2020. Half the year has already flown by. It'll be a start to the year unlike any that we've lived through in many decades. And let's hope that the back half of the year is far better than the first half. From Atherton to Augathella, it's Adam keeping you company. Now, tying the knot wasn't something a lot of couples were willing to do in front of next to no guests over the last few months. But from midday Friday, the next layer is going to be peeled off the restrictions on gatherings in Queensland that will allow up to 100 to go and witness a wedding. We're going to try and get a gauge for how the snapback might happen for happy snappers, catching couples exchanging vows when we speak to a celebrant who still had a bit of work on during the pandemic. And whilst the coronavirus and self-isolation might have brought some couples closer together physically, it's driven some further apart. There's been an increase in couples filing for divorce around the world. You're going to meet a Queensland relationships researcher who has some thoughts on why this might be happening, whether there is actually such a thing as spending too much time together. And a first-of-its-kind tourist attraction for regional Queensland will have its first showing tonight. We're going to learn why the multi-million dollar luminescent Longreach experience is going to promise to be such a crowd puller. So there are a few things coming up on the program this afternoon. 1300 801 222 is the number to call if you want to get in touch, or you can send a text on 0487 993 222. good song to signal the start of the program. It is only the beginning of both Drive, and that was a great song from Deborah Conway. The time, 11 past three. Adam with you. A bit of shower activity, particularly the heaviest of which has been between Townsville and Cairns, and really between Ingham and Cairns today. Some of the gauges around Innisfail have picked up nearly 30 millimetres or more since 9 a.m. and Battle Freer, the gauge up there on Queensland's highest mountain, has picked up 28 millimetres. I don't think it's that far up the mountain either, actually. If there was a gauge at the very top, it would pick up far more rain. But the Bartle Alert gauge has picked up 28 millimetres of rain since 9 a.m. So a little bit of shower activity about the wet tropical coast. Elsewhere, it's been a bit cloudy, but fine.
Adam Stephen on ABC Radio Queensland.
The number of Queenslanders who chose to tie the knot in April this year plummeted by almost 70% due to the cap that was placed on the number of guests allowed to witness a wedding, of course, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some wedding planners say they had 100% of their clients either cancel or reschedule. In fact, this would have been the experience of many wedding planners. But some positive news for the wedding and celebrant industry, with phase three restrictions easing from noon on Friday, it will allow a maximum of 100 guests back to witness weddings. So what might this mean for celebrants? Well, we thought we'd ask one in regional Queensland this afternoon. And joining us on Drive is Nancy Savage. She's a wedding celebrant from Western Queensland. G'day, Nancy.
Hello, Adam.
Did you have any weddings on during the last few months?
I did, Adam. I had a couple of cancellations. Cancelled sort of for 12 months next year, basically. But I did have several that still chose to be married, with just the bride, the groom, two witnesses and myself. And I did four of them up here on the veranda at my home.
You did four weddings?
I did four weddings. Wow. It was lovely. Yes, it was really nice. They chose to still go ahead with their wedding. And they'll have their reception when times allow it.
So they chose to exchange the vows, but will save the actual party until more can gather together.
Yeah, they'll just do a vow renewal and have their reception 12 months to the day when they did actually get married.
What was it like overseeing weddings which were just so intimate?
It was lovely. It was really quite special, actually. It was special that they still chose to go ahead and celebrate their marriage on that day, and that seemed to be more important to them than the party, I suppose.
The couples that you were dealing with that chose to actually postpone for a year, this must have been an agonising decision for people to have to make, having put so much planning into their date for this year, to then have to decide, oh, we're just going to have to push it back.
Oh, most definitely. You know, look, I had a couple of weddings that were cancelled here because family would have had to travel from so far, and people don't get to see their family all that often living in remote areas. So it's an extra special occasion because of that as well. They had to make the heartbreaking decision to either go ahead or to cancel it. And most probably did choose to cancel it for 12 months or so until times allow them to go ahead with it.
Now that you'll be allowed to conduct weddings in front of 100 guests, plus those that are actually getting married, do you think you'll see a lot of couples actually that may have been planning a bigger wedding than 100 guests decide, well, 100 will do and we'll just get married sooner?
I don't think so, Adam, because most weddings are pre-planned so far ahead. At least 12 months in advance. So I think most of those who were going to be married around this time of the year have postponed, and so I can see quite a quiet period actually for some time now until people start to book again for the next year, if you know what I mean. It'll be quite reasonably quiet. I still have some weddings that people held on to, hoping with all hope that they could still go ahead and have it. Unfortunately, they can now, but the others, it'll just happen next year.
What has the impact been like on the wedding sector, Nancy?
Look, not so much for me because I'm in a remote area. I probably do some years maybe 12 to 14 weddings, but usually around about 7 or 8. It hasn't had a huge impact on my business. I mainly do my service as a service rather than a business because it's a remote area and there are no other celebrants in the area. Funerals are a different matter altogether. That's been quite heart-wrenching. But the wedding impact, there hasn't impacted on me at all, really.
Yeah, so you may see actually a change to some of the funeral services you've been involved in as a wedding and funeral a celebrant based in Longreach. With the increase in the number of people that can attend a funeral, do you expect that to change the picture much?
It will change to a certain extent. I mean, it was very heartbreaking to have a family have to choose out of 30 people which 10 could attend the funeral. The physical contact was a very hard thing to come to terms with as well. Because, you know, when you lose someone, you need that physical contact and everything. That was a no-no. It's a bit easier now that, you know, you can have, yes, you can have 50 or more now, but you still have to worry about that physical contact. And it still has to be sort of within open spaces, well, for me in particular. And so many places aren't really classed as open spaces, you know, because they can have so many people there. So it does limit as to where you can have your memorial services and so forth. So I found that much more of an impact than weddings.
Isn't it it speaks to regional Queensland, really, that in Longreach, where you are both a wedding celebrant, but you also conduct funerals.
Yes. I probably do more funerals than weddings. And being a local, I know many of these people, so I find it very rewarding to be able to farewell them to the best of my ability. And I think that's probably why it had more of an impact on me, is because I know most people and I know family members who wanted to be there so badly, but because of circumstances couldn't, you know. So that was very sad.
So this phase 3 easing of restrictions, it's been brought forward a week. Were you pleased when you learnt that that would actually take place from noon on Friday as opposed to the following Friday, the 10th of July?
Yeah, I think it's, especially as I said, the weddings are something that you can't just decide overnight that, yes, I will have it again tomorrow, whereas funerals are a different matter altogether. So I think that's important for the funeral side of things, that it just moves forward. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
How would you sum up 2020 so far, Nancy Savage?
I found it quite enlightening, really. I think a lot of us have discovered that we don't need quite as much as we thought we needed. I think we've all discovered how much we actually miss that physical contact. Hugging and kissing someone hello and goodbye, you just took for granted. But when you can't have that physical contact, it's really quite sad. It's been a challenge, quite a challenge, yes. And I think it might be a challenge for a little bit longer yet, but maybe there's brighter days ahead.
Quite a challenge. So they're three words that you've used to describe 2020. I might actually ask our audience to describe the first half of the year in three words or less and see what they can come up with. But thank you for joining us this afternoon on Drive.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for listening.
That's Nancy Savage with us. She conducts weddings and funerals, based in Longreach and works in Western Queensland. Quite a challenge was Nancy's description of the year so far, among other words. What are your three words that best describe the first 6 months of 2020? So 2020 to date in three words or less. Send me a text 0487 993 222. We were quite creative when we did this on Friday. Three words to describe your school holiday recollections from your youth. What about 2020 in three words? 0487 993 222. You lose points for expletives and you get double points for alliteration.
Feeling nights waiting patiently for wise words to comfort me.
They'll be coming, yes, I do believe, to give you hope and some sanctuary.
Still feeling lonely, and I've been thinking about it.
Kevin Borich and Russell Morris. Russell, of course, an Aussie singer-songwriter and guitarist, had a string of hits in the 60s and 70s, including The Real Thing. Kevin Borich, a blues rock songwriter and guitarist from Auckland, teaming up there for Call a Friend, a song they released last year. It is 24 past three, and Adam with you right across regional Queensland this afternoon, asking for three words that best sum up the first half of 2020 for you. Kerry in West End has sent a text on 0487 993 222. Frenetically, fiscally fragile. So they're Kerry's three words there. Frenetically, fiscally fragile. So all three words with F, so double points for Kerry. I'm going to run with pandemonium, pandemic, Parramatta. I'll add Parramatta in there because I'm an Eels fan and they're on top of the NRL ladder, which is very rare, as any rugby league fans will know. I think it's been the best start to a season since the 80s for the Eels. So they're my three words: pandemic, pandemonium, Parramatta. Kerry likes, or says, fragile, fiscally, and frenetically. What do you say for your three words to describe the start to the year? We're now at the halfway mark of 2020. How would you describe the first half of the year? 0487 993 222.
Adam Stephen on ABC Radio Queensland.
I knew I wasn't reading it quite right, Kerry. My apologies. It says frantically, fiscally fragile. They're her three words. Something strange started happening soon after countries implemented lockdowns this year. Reports started to emerge around the world of a sudden spike in couples that were filing for divorce. And for relationship researchers, this didn't come as a huge surprise. Some couples really struggle with spending actually too much time together. University of Southern Queensland psychology lecturer Hakel Peels says socially distanced shutdowns and working from home arrangements have added stress and strain to romantic relationships, but it need not be a deal breaker.
Countries like China, America, and parts of Europe have seen an increase in filing for divorce. And I believe it is because, again, people are able to now look really closely at their relationships. If you read articles on relationships, they say it takes years for someone to go from starting to think about divorce to eventually filing for divorce. I think being kept in close corners with your partner could have speed up that process, where you are staring at the issue per se and thinking, oh, there's no way out, I'm trapped, I've got to do something.
Obviously, there's a lot of things that contribute to a relationship breakdown, but it seems counterintuitive, Rachel, that we have relationships that are under strain because people are spending more time together, doesn't it? It sounds counterintuitive that the more time couples spend together, sometimes the worse that actually is for their relationship.
Yeah, I think it's because we don't know how to spend time together with our partners. We are not used to it. It's not part of our routine. Most people think time together with their partner is dinner at home at night after they get back from work or weekends. So having to spend more time means that for some people, they just don't know what to do or how to behave or how to work around it. So again, it's a time where we need to sit down and create a new routine, create different ways of interacting. And this is what I have sort of talked about in my conversation article as well. It's time to think about, for example, monitoring the balance between how we interact with our partners on a negative and a positive way. So making sure that that ratio between positive and negative interactions is more towards the positive. So at least 5 positive interactions to contract every negative interaction. So that's a lot, right, when you think about it.
There are obviously signs that people can look for well before relationships actually come to a complete breakdown that maybe they're starting to sour a little. What are some of the common pitfalls that couples find themselves falling into?
Yeah, I like to always start with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So John Gottman, who is a renowned psychologist who specializes in relationships, talks about four behaviors that are paramount to contributing to relationship breakdown. So I think if we start there, we can have a really good idea of what's happening in our relationship. So things like criticism. Now, are we often criticizing our partner? Is this something that happens every day and all the time? Another big one and another really difficult one to counteract is contempt. So again, our attitudes towards our partner. Are we rolling our eyes when they're talking, or are we listening to them and taking them seriously? Defensiveness is another really big one. So it's, again, thinking of our attitudes when it's time to talk about something difficult, when it's time to talk about something important in the relationship. Are we being defensive? Are we feeling often criticized? Or can we, you know, take a pause and listen? And stonewalling is the fourth one, which is that idea that we might be trying to escape, again, from the difficult times in the relationship.
We know that financial stress can be a really toxic thing for intimate and romantic relationships. Do you think that would be contributing, the fact there are so many people either out of work or not working as much as they previously were, or even if they are working, uncertain about the future?
Absolutely. I think that's another really big reason for why so many relationships are under strain is, again, that change of dynamic. Perhaps 2 people working, now it's perhaps 1 person working and having to contribute to the household by themselves. But I like to think that there, again, could be an opportunity to help. So if someone is out of work, maybe they could help more around the house. They could help with you know, taking over the parenting role or the primary parenting role. So it's, again, just whatever suits the relationship, whatever suits the couple, is changing the dynamics, changing how things are done. We do have to change it. And that's the first step.
Do psychologists think that every relationship is salvageable? Are there just some relationships for which we can't steer and turn the ship around? It was eventually always going to reach the rocks.
That's a difficult question, Adam. I am a romantic, and I would like to believe that most relationships can be saved. Of course, there are some relationships that have come to the end, and there are some relationships that are actually quite unhealthy. So if I exclude those, I would like to think that for most relationships, there is an opportunity to make them better, and we should at least try. We should at least try, especially in times like this, where there is an opportunity to change the way we do things, to spend more time with our partners. That actually should be a great time for the relationship.
Yeah, it's so strange. It should be something that actually leads to the building of a better relationship, but under stressful circumstances. I mean, if we were all spending more time with our partner on a 24/7 holiday, it may not be as difficult as spending more time with your partner in a global pandemic where up until recently we've had very strict restriction on what we could do outside our house. Some people have lost work. A lot of people have lost hours at the very least. Financial strain, uncertainty about the future, a weird world we live in, all sort of in this big salad bowl. And then you throw a relationship in there and it's seeming like the dressing's more vinegar than it is honey mayonnaise.
I agree with you. I think it's counterintuitive to think that this is destroying our relationships. And it's all in our minds and the way that we frame things. So let's take the opportunity. Let's spend time with our partners. Let's give it a go. And then at least we can say, all right, we tried. We tried to work on it.
That's Akel Peel. She is a psychology lecturer with the University of Southern Queensland and has written an article on this topic for the website The Conversation. If you're interested in finding more, Akel goes into more detail in that article. ABC News reporting that Victoria has recorded its biggest single increase in coronavirus.